Our gospel lesson comes to us today from the gospel according to Mark, chapter 12, verses 13 through 17. If you'd like to follow along in your pew Bible, you'll find that in the back half on page 46. Hear now these words. Then they sent to Jesus some Pharisees and some Herodians to trap him in what he said. And they came and said to him, "Teacher, we know that you are sincere and show deference to no one, for you do not regard people with partiality, but teach the way of God in accordance with the truth. Is it lawful to pay taxes to the emperor or not? Should we pay them or should we not?" But knowing their hypocrisy, Jesus said to them, "Why are you putting me to the test? Bring me a denarius and let me see it." They brought one. Then he said to them, "Whose image is this and whose title?" They answered, "The emperor's." Jesus said to them, "Give to the emperor the things that are the emperor's, and to God the things that are God's." And they were utterly amazed at him. The gospel of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Thanks be to God. You may be seated. Please pray with me. Almighty God, inspire us by your true and living Spirit, that we may know more of what it means to be your children, that we may faithfully respond to the call of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, the one in whose name we have gathered and the one in whose name we pray. Amen. When my brother and sister were little, they were 9 and 11 years older than me. My parents had one of those 8mm cameras or video cameras, the ones that create those grainy images with no sound. Well, when I was a freshman in high school, they took those and they had them converted to that newfangled technology known as VHS. And the evening that they picked them up, we decided we're going to sit down, we're going to watch these and see how they turned out. We were not too far into actually watching them when my brother, my sister-in-law, and my about 5-year-old nephew dropped by unexpected. Now, as kids often do, my little nephew, Justin, he made a beeline for the TV to see what was on, and he stopped, dead in his tracks. And the most quizzical look came upon his face as he stared at the screen. After a little bit, one of us asked him, "Well, who is that on the TV?" And he cocked his head, and he looked at it, and he cocked his head the other way, and back and forth, and finally he kind of did a half statement, half question. "That's me?" "No, that's your daddy when he was your age." His mind was blown. He couldn't imagine how there could be someone on the screen that looked that much like him and not be him. And so he just walked away to find some toys to play with. But you see, at that age, Justin was, as they say, the spitting image of my brother. I mean, it was truly a very uncanny resemblance that they had. But as we think about being made in God's image, is that really what it means, that we look like God? I will say, growing up, that I heard that often from Sunday school teachers. "Well, since we have arms, God has arms. Since we have hair, God has hair. Since we have legs, God has legs." But I do remember one day early in junior high Sunday school, the teacher was saying something like that. "Since we are made in God's image, God looks just like us." And one of my classmates, in a pretty snarky tone, asked, "If we're made in God's image and look like God, why do we all look different?" Now, I honestly don't remember how the teacher responded to that, but it did make me pause and think for just a bit. What does that really mean, to be made in God's image? But to be completely honest, I really didn't think much more about it after that. Until seminary. That second semester in seminary, I was in my United Methodist history and doctrine class, where we began to learn about Wesleyan theology, and all of a sudden I had to deal with it. And I love how Wesley understands this being created in God's image. The first way that Wesley saw us being created in God's image, he called the natural image of God. This means that we are capable of being in a relationship with God because God has given us both the gift of reason and the gift of free will. God chooses to be in relationship with us. We can choose to be in relationship with God. The second way Wesley said that we image God is called the political image, which means that God has given us both the gifts and responsibilities of leadership and management. And that's what Allie read to you earlier when she read Genesis 1:28, that we are to take charge of the fish of the sea, the birds of the sky, and everything crawling on the ground. But finally, Wesley said that the third way in which we are created in God's image is called the moral image of God. Now, this doesn't just mean that we have the ability to be in a relationship with God, but that we actually are in a relationship with God. And in that relationship, we receive from God, and then we share what God gives us with others. And the moral image is to be open to life, to welcome life, that life that comes from our creative God, but to also to affirm that life in others. It's to receive love, justice, mercy, and truth, and to offer the same to everybody else. It's to breathe in God's Spirit and to breathe out for the benefit of God's will for other people and even of all creation. That same Spirit. God generously blesses us. We should generously bless each other because of this gift of God. Now, in our monthly study group known as St. Simeon, we usually meet the first Sunday of the month. We're currently studying the book Come Be My Light, which focuses on some of the writings of Mother Teresa. Now, I want to first throw in this caveat. We're only a few chapters into the book. I don't consider myself an expert on Mother Teresa or her theology, nor do I consider myself an expert on Catholic theology either. But one of the most challenging things about this book for me so far is that what I hear Mother Teresa saying is that to properly provide for others, we must suffer. The sacrifices we make for others should be painful. The thinking seems to go, Jesus suffered, we must suffer as well. Now, I know that he would find it quite amusing that I'm comparing and contrasting him to Mother Teresa, but as I was reading that book, a friend of mine from Texas came to mind. His name is Rick Orr. Truly one of the most generous people I've ever met in my life. And it was interesting because on many occasions, anytime you'd have a stewardship drive, a fund drive, or people were asking for money, someone would always say, you gotta give till it hurts. Now, usually they were joking about it, but Rick would always follow, I just call BS on that. You gotta give till it feels good. Now, someone would usually question what he meant by that, and some people who had heard his spiel before would challenge him and saying, no, we got to give selflessly, no strings attached, it can't be for feeling good. But Rick would always respond, no, give till it feels good. He said, it's a belief I've had since I was a freshman in college. I simply don't believe that there's anything such as altruism. My belief is that even if you give selflessly, you are still getting the reward of feeling good for giving. So for Rick, the purpose of giving to the needs of others, even if it's a sacrifice, is to feel good for having given to that need. And so as I compare and I contrast what I hear Mother Teresa saying and what my friend Rick always says, I think we're ultimately trying to define the purpose of sacrifice. And I'm truly convinced that the purpose of sacrifice is not the suffering. The purpose of sacrifice is the party of new life on the other side of that sacrifice. I mean, let's think about it. Jesus says that he came that we may have abundant life and to have complete joy. He doesn't say I've come so that you can suffer a lot, though we do suffer a lot. But you know, I just can't imagine that as God blesses us, that God is wanting to suffer in order to be able to bless us. I am certain that God blesses us with much, much joy. And if we are created in God's image, we should give till it feels good. And though we certainly see a God that suffers as we read Jesus' story, and we will all suffer in this life, the purpose of that suffering is not for the suffering, for the pain, but for the resurrection joy on the other side. So sometimes the joy may be deferred a bit, but the purpose of sacrifice is always joy. Now, as I think about our gospel lesson today from the gospel according to Mark, I find it fascinating, but I also feel like we have typically watered it down quite a bit. We've not really heard what I think it says. Because we tend to focus more on what the Pharisees and Herodians are concerned with. Should we pay taxes or not? And then we focus on the most direct answer to that. Yep, we should pay taxes. Jesus said it. Got to pay taxes. But we don't really pay attention to all that Jesus is saying there. Notice Jesus asks, whose image is on that coin? The answer, of course, is Caesar. But that next line, if we pay close attention, what Jesus is really saying is, okay then, give Caesar's image to Caesar, but give God's image to God. And we are God's image. I'm pretty sure Jesus really couldn't care less about paying taxes. Jesus is more concerned with us giving our whole selves, God's image, to God. Because it's in the giving of our whole selves that I believe that we find joy. So John Wesley says that our whole selves includes this being able to be in relationship with our creative God because of reason and free will. God says that our whole selves includes having God-given gifts and abilities for leadership and management. And God says our whole selves, Wesley says our whole selves includes actually having a relationship with God that leads to relationships with others. But taking that a little bit further, I think about the membership question that we ask everybody who becomes a member of this church or any United Methodist church. Will you uphold the church by your prayers, your presence, your gifts, your service, and your witness? And so as I combine that with giving our whole image to God, I realize God wants our prayers. And I'm sure that upholding the church by our prayers is more than just saying prayers for the church. It's also listening to where God is calling us to serve and to give in the church. But God doesn't just want our prayers. I realize that God wants us present. God wants us in the pews and not just on Sunday mornings. But God doesn't just want our presence. I realize that God wants our gifts, and I'm sure that gifts is not just our money. It's also our gifts, our spiritual gifts and abilities that we can use to build each other up. But God doesn't just want our gifts. I realize that God wants our service, but God doesn't just want our service. And I realize that God wants our witness of words and actions to God's love, but God doesn't just want our witness. God wants all of us, all of who we are as individuals and as a community. And I don't know about you, but the more fully invested I am in an endeavor that I care for, the more joy I tend to find in supporting that endeavor. Because I find myself a part of something that's bigger than myself, but still needs me. And so it actually feels good to give more of myself. Now, going back to my nephew Justin for just a moment, as I said, when he was little, he and my brother looked so much alike, truly uncanny. But thankfully, as we tease my brother, over the years, much of my sister-in-law's beauty has shown through in my nephew. In fact, one could argue that now Justin looks more like his mom than he does his dad. So when we think about being created in God's image, we shouldn't think of this as some static state, as something that we just are. Because often we consciously and unconsciously hide the parts of our God-given beauty. We often don't live up to the full image of God in which we were created. And today we are embarking on a journey of being guided by God through generosity, with guidance and direction that comes to us via gratitude and prayer and faith, which you will hear about more over the next 3 weeks. But today we have looked at where we all begin our journey, being created in God's image. So my prayer is that over this journey of the next few weeks, I pray that we aren't just going through the motions, but I pray that we are embarked on a journey of self-discovery, where we more fully realize in ourselves the image of God within us as our real starting place. And then begin to more generously and creatively offer that gift of ourselves to the world along life's journey. Given till it feels good. Thanks be to God. Amen.